Chapter 107. Along the steep hillside and steeper wall, as if it were a phantom hunter. Clouds too. And a mist upon the hollow. Not a dull fog that hides it, but a light airy gauze-like mist, which in our eyes of modest admiration, gives a new charm to the beauties it has spread before, as real gauze has done here now, and would again, so please you, though we were the Pope. Yo-ho! Why now we travel like the moon herself, hiding this minute in a grove of trees, next minute in a patch of vapor, emerging now upon our broad clear course. Withdrawing now, but always dashing on, our journey is a counterpart of hers. Yo-ho! A match against the moon. The beauty of the night is hardly felt, when day comes rushing up. Yo-ho! Two stages, and the country roads are almost changed to a continuous street. Yo-ho! Past market gardens, rows of houses, villas, crescents, terraces, and squares, past wagons, coaches, carts. Past early workmen, late stragglers, drunken men, and sober carriers of loads, past brick and mortar in its every shape, and in among the rattling pavements, where a jaunty seat upon a coach is not so easy to preserve. Yo-ho, down countless turnings, and through countless mazy ways, until an old innyard is gained, and Tom Pinch, getting down quite stunned and giddy, is in London. 5 minutes before the time to ... said the driver, as he received his fee of Tom. Upon my word, said Tom, I should not have minded very much, if we had been 5 hours after it, for at this early hour I don't know where to go, or what to do with myself. Don't they expect you then? Inquired the driver. Who? Said Tom. Why them, returned the driver. His mind was so clearly running on the assumption of Tom's having come to town, to see an extensive circle of anxious relations and friends, that it would have been pretty hard work to undeceive him. Tom did not try. He cheerfully evaded the subject, and going into the inn, fell fast asleep before a fire in one of the public rooms opening from the yard. When he awoke, the people in the house were all astir, so he washed and dressed himself, to his great refreshment after the journey, and, it being by that time 8 o'clock, went forth at once, to see his old friend John. John Westlock lived in Furnival's Inn, High Holborn, which was within a quarter of an hour's walk of Tom's starting point, but seemed a long way off, by reason of his going 2 or 3 miles out of the straight road, to make a short cut. When at last he arrived outside John's door, 2 stories up, he stood faltering with his hand upon the knocker, and trembled from head to foot. For he was rendered very nervous by the thought of having to relate what had fallen out between himself and Pecksniff, and he had a misgiving that John would exult fearfully in the disclosure. But it must be made, thought Tom, sooner or later, and I had better get it over. Rat-tat. I am afraid that's not a London knock, thought Tom. It didn't sound bold. Perhaps that's the reason why nobody answers the door. It is quite certain that nobody came, and that Tom stood looking at the knocker, wondering whereabouts in the neighborhood a certain gentleman resided, who was roaring out to somebody come in. With all his might. Bless my soul. Thought Tom at last. Perhaps he lives here, and is calling to me. I never thought of that. Can I open the door from the outside, I wonder? Yes, to be sure I can. To be sure he could, by turning the handle, and to be sure, when he did turn it the same voice came rushing out, crying why don't you come in? Come in, do you hear? What are you standing there for? Quite violently. Tom stepped from the little passage into the room from which these sounds proceeded, and had barely caught a glimpse of a gentleman in a dressing gown and slippers with his boots beside him ready to put on, sitting at his breakfast with a newspaper in his hand, when the said gentleman, at the imminent hazard of oversetting his tea table, made a plunge at Tom and hugged him. Why, Tom, my boy, apostrophe apostrophe cried the gentleman. Tom, apostrophe, how glad I am to see you, Mr. Westlock. Apostrophe apostrophe said Tom Pinch, shaking both his hands, and trembling more than ever. How kind you are. Apostrophe, Mr. Westlock. Apostrophe apostrophe repeated John, what do you mean by that, Pinch? You have not forgotten my Christian name, I suppose? Apostrophe apostrophe, no, John, no. I have not forgotten, apostrophe said Thomas Pinch. Good gracious me, how kind you are. Apostrophe apostrophe, I never saw such a fellow in all my life. Apostrophe apostrophe cried John. What do you mean by saying that over and over again? What did you expect me to be, I wonder? Here, sit down, Tom, and be a reasonable creature. How are you, my boy? I am delighted to see you. Apostrophe, and I am delighted to see you, apostrophe said Tom. It's mutual, of course, apostrophe returned John. It always was, I hope. If I had known you had been coming, Tom, I would have had something for breakfast. I would rather have such a surprise than the best breakfast in the world, myself, but yours is another case, and I have no doubt you are as hungry as a hunter. You must make out as well as you can, Tom, and we'll recompense ourselves at dinner time. You take sugar, I know, I recollect the sugar at Pecksniff's. Ha, ha, ha. How is Pecksniff? When did you come to town? Do begin at something or other, Tom. There are only scraps here, but they are not at all bad. Boar's head potted. Try it, Tom. Make a beginning whatever you do. What an old blade you are. I am delighted to see you. Apostrophe, while he delivered himself of these words, in a state of great commotion, John was constantly running backwards and forwards to and from the closet, bringing out all sorts of things in pots, scooping extraordinary quantities of tea out of the caddy, dropping French rolls into his boots, pouring hot water over the butter, and making a variety of similar mistakes without disconcerting himself in the least. There! Apostrophe apostrophe said John, sitting down for the 50th time, and instantly starting up again, to make some other addition to the breakfast. Now we are as well off as we are likely to be till dinner. And now let us have the news, Tom. Imprimis, how's Pecksniff? Apostrophe apostrophe, I don't know how he is, apostrophe was Tom's grave answer. John Westlock put the teapot down, and looked at him, in astonishment. I don't know how he is, apostrophe said Thomas Pinch, and, saving that I wish him no ill, I don't care. I have left him, John. I have left him forever. Apostrophe, voluntarily? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, no, for he dismissed me. But I had first found out that I was mistaken in him, and I could not have remained with him under any circumstances. I grieve to say that you were right in your estimate of his character. It may be a ridiculous weakness, John, but it has been very painful and bitter to me to find this out, I do assure you. Apostrophe, Tom had no need to direct that appealing look towards his friend, in mild and gentle deprecation of his answering with a laugh. John Westlock would as soon have thought of striking him down upon the floor. It was all a dream of mine, apostrophe said Tom, and it is over. I'll tell you how it happened, at some other time. Bear with my folly, John. I do not, just now, like to think or speak about it. Apostrophe, I swear to you, Tom, apostrophe returned his friend, with great earnestness of manner, after remaining silent for a few moments, that when I see, as I do now, how deeply you feel this, I don't know whether to be glad or sorry that you have made the discovery at last. I reproach myself with the thought that I ever jested on the subject. I ought to have known better. Apostrophe, my dear friend, apostrophe said Tom, extending his hand, it is very generous and gallant in you to receive me, and my disclosure in this spirit, it makes me blush to think that I should have felt a moment's uneasiness as I came along. You can't think what a weight has lifted off my mind, apostrophe said Tom, taking up his knife and fork again, and looking very cheerful. I shall punish the boar's head dreadfully. Apostrophe, the host, thus reminded of his duties, instantly betook himself to piling up all kinds of irreconcilable and contradictory viands in Tom's plate, and a very capital breakfast Tom made, and very much the better for Tom felt. That's all right, apostrophe said John, after contemplating his visitor's proceedings with infinite satisfaction. Now, about our plans. You are going to stay with me, of course. Where's your box? Apostrophe, it's at the inn, apostrophe said Tom. I didn't intend apostrophe, never mind what you didn't intend, apostrophe John Westlock interposed. What you did intend, is more to the purpose. You intended, in coming here, to ask my advice, did you not, Tom? Apostrophe, certainly. Apostrophe, and to take it, when I gave it to you. Apostrophe, yes, apostrophe rejoined Tom, smiling, if it were good advice, which, being yours, I have no doubt it will be. Apostrophe, very well. Then don't be an obstinate old humbug in the outset, Tom, or I shall shut up shop, and dispense none of that invaluable commodity. You are on a visit to me. I wish I had an organ for you. Tom. Apostrophe, so do the gentleman downstairs, and the gentleman overhead I have no doubt, apostrophe was Tom's reply. Let me see. In the first place, you will wish to see your sister this morning, apostrophe pursued his friend, and of course you will like to go there alone. I'll walk part of the way with you, and see about a little business of my own, and meet you here again in the afternoon. Put that in your pocket, Tom. It's only the key of the door. If you come home first you'll want it. Apostrophe, really, apostrophe said Tom, quartering oneself upon a friend in this way apostrophe, why, there are two keys, apostrophe interposed John Westlock. I can't open the door with them both at once, can I? What a ridiculous fellow you are, Tom. Nothing particular you'd like for dinner, is there? Apostrophe, oh dear no, apostrophe said Tom. Very well, then you may as well leave it to me. Have a glass of cherry brandy, Tom? Apostrophe, not a drop. What remarkable chambers these are. Apostrophe said Pinch, there's everything in them. Apostrophe, bless your soul, Tom, nothing but a few little bachelor contrivances, the sort of impromptu arrangements that might have suggested themselves to Philip Quarler Robinson Crusoe, that's all. What do you say? Shall we walk? Apostrophe, by all means, apostrophe cried Tom. As soon as you like. Apostrophe, accordingly John Westlock took the French rolls out of his boots, and put his boots on, and dressed himself, giving Tom the paper, to read in the meanwhile. When he returned, equipped for walking, he found Tom in a brown study, with the paper in his hand. Dreaming, Tom? Apostrophe, no, apostrophe said Mr. Pinch, no. I have been looking over the advertising sheet, thinking there might be something in it which would be likely to suit me. But, as I often think, the strange thing seems to be that nobody is suited. Here are all kinds of employers wanting all sorts of servants, and all sorts of servants wanting all kinds of employers, and they never seem to come together. Here is a gentleman in a public office in a position of temporary difficulty, who wants to borrow £500, and in the very next advertisement here is another gentleman who has got exactly that sum to lend. But he'll never lend it to him, John, you'll find. Here is a lady possessing a moderate independence, who wants to board and lodge with a quiet, cheerful family. And here is a family describing themselves in those very words, a quiet, cheerful family, who want exactly such a lady to come and live with them. But she'll never go, John. Neither do any of the single gentlemen who want an airy bedroom, with the occasional use of a parlor, ever appear to come to terms with these other people who live in a rural situation remarkable for its bracing atmosphere, within 5 minutes' walk of the Royal Exchange. Even those letters of the alphabet who are always running away from their friends, and being entreated at the tops of columns to come back, never do come back, if we may judge from the number of times they are asked to do it and don't. It really seems, apostrophe said Tom, relinquishing the paper with a thoughtful sigh, as if people had the same gratification in printing their complaints as in making them known by word of mouth. As if they found it a comfort and consolation to proclaim, I want such and such a thing, and I can't get it, and I don't expect I ever shall. Apostrophe, John Westlock laughed at the idea, and they went out together. So many years had passed since Tom was last in London, and he had known so little of it then, that his interest in all he saw was very great. He was particularly anxious, among other notorious localities, to have those streets pointed out to him which were appropriated to the slaughter of countrymen, and was quite disappointed to find, after half an hour's walking, that he hadn't had his pocket picked. But on John Westlock's inventing a pickpocket for his gratification, and pointing out a highly respectable stranger as one of that fraternity, he was much delighted. His friend accompanied him to within a short distance of Camberwell, and having put him beyond the possibility of mistaking the wealthy brass and copper founders, left him to make his visit. Arriving before the great bell handle, Tom gave it a gentle pull. The porter appeared. Pray, does Miss Pinch live here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Tom. Miss Pinch is governess here, apostrophe, replied the porter. At the same time he looked at Tom from head to foot, as if he would have said, you are a nice man, you are. Where did you come from? Apostrophe, apostrophe, it's the same young lady, apostrophe, said Tom. It's quite right. Is she at home? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I don't know, I'm sure, apostrophe, rejoined the porter. Do you think you could have the goodness to ascertain? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Tom. He had quite a delicacy in offering the suggestion, for the possibility of such a step did not appear to present itself to the porter's mind at all. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.